Amen. Good morning, everybody. I say it almost every week that I love getting up here and sharing God's word, but I don't like having to tell everybody, stop talking, stop fellowshipping, because this is a vitally, hugely important time for us at Deep River Church. I hope you had a chance to connect and get a freshened up cup of coffee. We've mentioned it a few times. On last September, we planted Deep Rivers Church. We launched Deep Rivers Church. And we didn't just launch a Sunday morning service. We've launched a community. And that means we try hard to get together, and we're going to do more and more as the years unfold, of getting together outside of this room. And there's two things going on this week that I'd like you to know about, two opportunities to meet and to get connected with people. On Tuesday night, all summer long, we've been holding something called Rest House, and we just get together and we rest. One time somebody came with a concordance underneath. It was a concordance or a commentary, and it just showed that sometimes as Christians, we're just so geared to learn. What are we going to show up? We got to learn something. And it was like, no, we're not here to learn. We're here to rest. We're here to read from God's word, and then we're here to pray for one another. So this Tuesday night, I think there's only four left, and then summer's going to wind down. The first Tuesday night of the month, we've been having a meal together. So usually we get together at 7. This Tuesday, please come to the ministry house at 6:30. We'll just have some hot dogs and subs. I'm not a very good griller. In fact, people always end up pushing me out of the way because things are either burnt or raw. And it's a good thing, actually, for me to get pushed out of the way. So we'll have hot dogs and we'll have subs. So the ministry house address is on this yellow piece of paper. And so if you could join us on Tuesday night at the ministry house, it's just about 2 miles from where we're standing up in the hills up by Bullfrog Park. And so we'd like to invite you to that. Also, the ministry house allows us to host events that aren't even ours. And this Friday night, we are hosting. Winnie's with us this morning, and Ray is preaching up in Millersburg. So if you have any questions, talk to Winnie. Ray is preaching up in Millersburg, but Winnie is with us this morning. I don't know how to explain River Encounter. It's a time where people come together and they try to put themselves in a place where they can hear God's voice, and they look into the scriptures and they spend time praying for one another. It's really hard to explain. But if you're curious, Friday night at 7 o'clock. So Tuesday night, 6:30, Friday night at 7. And again, if you have any questions about River Encounter, please talk to Winnie. And I don't want to stand up here and give announcements because we've already done that. But I just, again, want to encourage you and just explain the baptismal service on August 24th, which is a couple Saturdays from now. We're going to be having a pool party / cookout / baptismal service. And I had somebody already come up to me this morning and say, you know, I was baptized when I was younger, but I'd like to do it again. And so if you are interested in that, please let me know. We do need to get together just to have a conversation to make sure everybody understands what baptism is. And even if you were baptized as an infant, or baptism is a public profession of an inward change. I don't believe there's anything, I hate to use the word magical, that happens when we're baptized, but it is a public profession of an inward change. So if there has been an inward change in you, because you're walking with Jesus, and you would like to make that public profession, and you haven't yet, please come talk to me. And the next couple weeks could be a lot of fun for me, meeting people for breakfast or lunch and pancakes and getting to talk about what does that mean to be baptized. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. So, and then September 22nd, we're celebrating our one-year anniversary. I was at the printers this week, last week it was, and we're going to send out some postcards. We're going to have postcards if you want to hand them out or send them out to people as well. September 22nd, just mark it on your calendar. I know life is busy. I'll be happy when summer's over in some respects, because everybody's always out doing something. But if you could carve out that weekend of September 22nd, then we're also going to invite everybody over to Schaffner Park for a picnic. So we're going to celebrate our one-year anniversary in this space, but then we'll head on over. All that important stuff, but let's take a moment just to pray and get to the more important stuff. Father, we just come before you this morning confessing and recognizing and confessing that oftentimes we just take so much of life for granted, whether it be our health, whether it be our provision, or even, it might even be your presence that we take for granted. So this morning, we just want to stop and recognize, while you are omnipresent, you are all the where, everywhere, all the time, we ask for you to visit with us this morning in a more intentional way, a way that would impact our hearts, a way that would transform our minds, a way that would not just encourage us for the next 6-7 days until we meet again, not just an infusion of feeling good, but that you would be at work in us, in our whole being, in our soul, to bring a change that would have far-reaching impacts in our families, in our places of work, and in your kingdom's work in us. And thank you for your word, and pray that it would speak deep truths this morning. Amen. Nicole and I, Emily and Ann and Joshua, we moved to central Pennsylvania about 6 years ago. We lived in northwest Indiana, just about an hour from Chicago. There was a commuter train that you could take into Chicago, and we would do it every once in a while. Looking back, we probably should have done it more. And one of the things we used to do was go visit the windows at Marshall Fields at Christmas time. Now, Marshall Fields was a Chicago-based high-end department store. It eventually got bought out by Macy's. Are you familiar with Macy's? I guess it was sort of like Wanamaker. Wanamaker is a big Philadelphia. My dad's like, yeah. So that was Chicago's version of a high-end department store was Marshall Fields. And every Christmas, they would put together a different Christmas story in the windows, and you could go down there and, you know, look. And it was kind of a very Christmassy thing to do if you wanted to get into the Christmas spirit and do some shopping in Chicago. Well, I know it's insanely hot out lately, but do forget that in the wintertime, it can get insanely cold. And we went down one time to Vortexes because it was as cold can be. And you ran from one thing to the other, you know. And we're standing outside of Marshall Fields after it got taken over by Macy's. And there's a guy out there passing out tracts and pamphlets, and he's got a sign, and he's protesting something. And I'm like, what is that guy protesting about when it's this cold? If it's global warming, he's not going to get a lot of traction. But I thought, maybe he's here to save the whales, or maybe he's here for, you know, there's 1,000 different causes that this guy is protesting, that he's motivated. If he's out in this weather, he's motivated. So I find my way over to him, and I can see his sign. And he's protesting the name change from Marshall Fields to Macy's. And I was just like, wow, that's hardcore. And I almost wished he'd be trying to save the whales or something else. To me, that seemed like such a small, insignificant reason that may not know the difference between one or the other. They probably sold all the same stuff. It's just that one bag was green that said Marshall Fields, and the other bag had a Macy's big red star on. It's about the only difference you could tell. People get motivated for all kinds of reasons, and they take up causes for all kinds of reasons. This last week, there were protesters at Washington, D.C., who superglued themselves together. You ever got a little bit of super glue on the end of your fingers and kind of freak out because you think, oh, they super glued their hands together, and then one of them at each end super glued their hand to the wall. They wanted to block people from going in and out of some building in D.C. I don't even know what it was. People get fired up about causes. Whether it's some guy standing in the polar vortex complaining about a name change or people super gluing their hands together. Why? Why do people have this motivation inside to go for some sort of cause? I think it's simple. God created us with a mission. We're going to redirect that into all kinds of stuff. We have a mission because there's an emptiness inside of us. There's a couple passages in the Old Testament that the prophet shared with the Hebrew people about this emptiness that they would feel when they weren't walking in relationship with God. The first one's from Micah 6, 14 through 16. This is what happens when you pursue and worship other things. The prophet said, "You will eat but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. You will store up but save nothing, because what you save I will give to the sword. You will plant but not harvest. You will press olives but not use the oil. You will crush grapes but not drink the wine. You have observed the statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house. You have followed their traditions. Therefore, I will give you over to ruin and your people to derision. You will bear the scorn of the nations." When we pursue other things, other gods, and in our culture, things are gods, your car, your house, you're really not careful, there's going to be this emptiness. You'll eat, but not be satisfied. Haggai said the same thing. This is what happens when we don't show God his worth. When we ignore God, this is what happens. Then the word of the Lord came. This is Haggai 1, 3 through 6. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house, the temple, remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only put them in a purse with holes in it." We all have a longing and a desire for more. I could share the statistics again. You've probably heard them before. Who commits suicide more? The wealthy. Because they have the stuff that they think will make them happy, content, and satisfied, and it doesn't. At Deep Rivers Church is, how are we going to answer that emptiness? How are we going to answer the question, isn't there more? On March 4th, 2017, we hosted a vision dinner. I want to read to you, this is the invite that we mailed out to everybody. It's got a nice little barbecue thing, a little logo that I found someplace. And so I want to read to you what we sent out to our friends. I think we sent it out in January of 2017, almost 2.5 years ago. This is what it said. "Matt and Nicole Given invite you to Deep Rivers Church barbecue dinner, Saturday, March 4th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Perking Point, next to the Giant on Highway 39. We'll be sharing our plans for planting a new church, ! Food catered by Smoked," and then I even got the Smoked logo on there. And then for some reason I felt the need to put in parentheses, "a local Hershey restaurant." To reserve your spot, please text my phone number with your name and the number of people attending. Space is limited, exclamation point. So RSVP by Sunday, February 26th. Our desire is simply to share what God has been placing on our hearts over the past year, the fruit of much prayer and fasting. This is the next step we have been asking God to reveal. We hope you come to eat with our family and praise God with us as we continue to seek his leading. If you are unable to attend but still want to hear more about Deep Rivers Church, please text the word Panera to my phone number, Matt Sell, and we'll set up a time to meet with you at Panera to explain the vision and purpose of this new church plant. You can always call with any questions at the same time. Thanks and God bless, Matt and Nicole Given. And then a little asterisk at the bottom. Perking Point is a coffee house with a large meeting room in the back. It's next to the Giant Grocery on Highway 39, just 2 miles north of the Giant Center. The address is 257 Hershey Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Friends, to come here about this idea of planting Deep Rivers Church. Here's a question. Was anybody here at that dinner? Raise your hand. God bless. Ginger and Troy and Angie were with us 2.5 years ago. This is before we had a nifty vision statement. This is before we had a logo, a website. Perking Point has closed. It's no longer a coffee shop. Our kid, one of them has graduated. We moved from one home to the other. So a lot has happened in the last 2.5 years. The handout this morning on the back of the worship guide is the exact same handout we did that I passed out to everybody on March 4th, 2017. The only difference is the little red line there, Perking Point, March 4th, is word for word what we shared and what we talked about 2.5 years ago in the back of a coffee house. And that's why, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Why are we here? What is the passion? What's the answer to that emptiness that people feel that motivates them to superglue themselves together or to stand in a polar vortex trying to change something that has zero eternal value? The first thing at the Perking Point Vision dinner night was I read a passage from 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, and it says this. It says, Paul, the first church planter, wrote, and the verse says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." We wanted to plant a church, not just great sermons would be preached. And when this time is over this morning, we're going to invite folks to come and pray and to be prayed for. And our hope and our expectation is for God's power to be seen. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. And let's be honest, sometimes it doesn't happen the way that we desire it to be. But we're going to ask for God's power to be seen. And that was one of the first thing we ever uttered when we got everybody together at the back of the Perking Point, is we wanted to be a church that demonstrates God's power. We had three questions that we looked through that night. And the first one is, how have you seen this power in your church experience? And again, I grew up in a great church, served as a youth pastor and as associate pastor in great churches, but I didn't always see God's power at work. We read through the Old Testament, and some of the things that you see in the Old Testament are obviously descriptive. It's what God did at that time. It was his instructions when the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were taking over the promised land. They were told to do things to clear out their enemies. Nobody looks at that now and says, well, that's what we should do today. That is obviously a descriptive passage, a descriptive time. When we look through the Old Testament, when we look at the book of Acts, do we see that as something that's descriptive, or do we see that as something that is prescriptive? Is the book of Acts just a history lesson of what God has done? Or when we read the book of Acts, do we see a model for what God wants to do in us? And unfortunately, I think a lot of folks, a lot of churches might read the book of Acts in the New Testament and see it in the same light as the Old Testament. That's what God did then. He doesn't do that stuff now. We want Deep Rivers to be a church that sees the work of God in the New Testament as prescriptive. Like the doctor gives you a prescription and says, take this. We want to be a church work. We believe that Deep Rivers Church will spend time each week in God's word, worship, and prayer. And again, my church experience, most of the time I went to church, we spent time worshiping, and we spent time in God's word, the sermon, but we didn't spend a lot of time praying. And we want to be a church that spends time praying. I think people were praying during my little announcements this morning, and that's fine. Again, we want to invite everybody to pray when the service is over. On Sunday mornings, we want to be a church that gathers to worship, to hear from God's word, and to pray, to do three things and not just two. We believe God's power will be seen when we preach the gospel of pardon, position, and privileges. The gospel is three things, not just one. Again, I grew up in a great church, served in really great churches, and for me, the gospel was pretty much one thing. It was the pardon for my sins. Deep Rivers Church wants to be a church and tells people you need to be pardoned from your sins, but that pardon gives you a new position, a new identity in Christ. And that new identity gives you privileges, as in the authority to pray differently than you might have learned growing up in the church. We were talking with somebody this week, Nicole and I went and visited somebody, and sometimes we just some real simple tools in your toolbox to pray out loud. When a thought comes, you cast that thought to the feet of Jesus. Don't start pulling the thread. Don't try to reason with evil. I didn't grow up understanding the privileges that a child of God has and to pray that intentionally for things. So we want to be a church that worships, that hears from God's word, that prays. We want to be a church that not just has one view of the gospel, but a fuller understanding of pardon, position, and privileges. And we want to be a church that teaches the reality of our righteousness. Because your righteousness brings peace, and your peace brings joy. So if we want to answer the, you know, now we have a vision statement. Answering the question, isn't there more? Well, on March 4th, 2 years, a lot of the things that we've been able to articulate and figure out by then. But the more is walking in peace and joy. Again, churches are filled with people who might be pardoned, might be saved, but really aren't walking in a measure of peace and joy. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the first question we want to answer as a church is, how have you seen this power in your church experience? We want to see God's power in our church experience through these things: word, worship, and prayer, position, pardon, and privileges, righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, the second question we talked about that night was we wanted to be a church that helped people understand more about the kingdom of God. And if you've been with us this summer, we've been talking. We spent June and July talking about what is the kingdom of God. And so this might sound familiar. You might hear some phrases like, oh, yeah, I remember him talking about that. The kingdom of God, and that three, we believe that the kingdom of God is now and not yet. In a fallen world, we pray for more of the kingdom to be seen, to shrink the gap between what we see in Scripture and our experience. For us, the more is the intentional pursuit of the kingdom and not just spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel is vitally, hugely, immensely important. And we want to be a church that shares the gospel, even on Sunday mornings when we're gathered together. Last week we did. Nobody raised their hand. But that's all right. The gospel was shared. So we want to be a church that shares the gospel, but we also want to be a church that wants to see more of our pursuit of the kingdom. The Ephesians format. I don't remember that phrase or not. In Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 tell what God has done for 4 through 6 are we told how to live in response to God's grace. Ephesians is 6 chapters long. The first 3 chapters are all about this is what God has done for you. Now, if I was writing a letter, I'd probably skip straight to this. This is what you need to do. You're messing up. You need to do this differently. But Ephesians highlights the first, and again, we just type stuff out, we email it. Writing something in the Bible was much more complicated, much more involved. You'd probably be a little bit more careful about your words. You wouldn't waste any words if there's ink and pen and quills and some rare papyrus laying around, whatever that looks like. But Paul still felt the need to point out what God has done for 3 chapters. And then, not until chapter 4, does he say, this is what we do in response to what God has done. And we want to be a church that makes a big deal about what God has done. And we want to live our lives in response to that. The last phrase, the last of the kingdom of God phrases is not, are both important. One is taught, one is revealed to us. More, walking in more means experience and content. We want to be a church that helps people experience God and not just to learn more about him. The third question is, how will Deep Rivers Church do all this? The first answer to that is we won't. We believe that ministry is received and not achieved. Whenever we meet, we will take on a prayer-dependent posture, a humble dependence on God to do his work in and through us. It doesn't matter how great the worship is. It doesn't matter how great the coffee is. It doesn't matter how great this sermon is. If God's going to do a work in someone's heart and mind, God's going to do a work in someone's heart and mind. It doesn't matter how bad the worship is. It doesn't matter how awful the coffee is. It doesn't even matter how boring the sermon may be 10 months. But that's a good thing, because then it takes the responsibility off of me, doesn't it? We've said, another phrase we stumbled into, is we value God's presence more than the presentation. That's because we believe that ministry is something that's received. It's not something that we achieve. Again, we can achieve a lot, But that doesn't mean we're going to receive anything from God. So ministry is something that's received and not achieved. We're going to put our focus on the role of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives by being consistent with the Bible teaches regards to the kingdom and the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. A few weeks ago, we talked about what does it look like to host the dove. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism like a dove. And if the Holy Spirit fills you at the moment in your life, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. But that doesn't mean we don't have any responsibility to host the dove. We want to live our lives cognizant of the fact that we want the dove to be with us all the time in a tangible, practical, working way. And the last thing we shared that night is our prayer-dependent environments will include weekend gatherings. We're there. Men's and women's ministry. We've had a women's ministry. Men's ministry we haven't started yet. Small groups, missional action groups. We haven't started those yet. We got a lot to do. Occasionally offered equipping classes. We haven't done that either. But I listed off four things. The position, authority of the believer, your identity in Christ, the battle for the mind. We did a sermon series on that. And forgiving from the heart. Because if we don't forgive, we open up doors for all kinds of bad stuff in the spiritual realm if we're not careful. So it's a bigger deal than I think we realize. And the other thing that we've ended up kind of falling into is ending our time together standing and asking God a few questions, trusting that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word, to us directly into our hearts and minds. So if you do me a favor and stand, we have a few questions that we'd like you to ask God, trusting that he will share something with you if indeed you need to hear something. And again, if there's something going on, it can be something in your relationally, physically. I know there's already been people prayed for physically this morning. So whatever the heart burden is, or whatever your body burden is, let's pray about that. We have a special guest with us this morning who probably wouldn't mind praying for people as well. So let's take a moment just to ask God some questions, trusting he will speak. First question is this: how have you valued presentation or appearance over the presence of God? How have you valued all the superficial external things more than the actual presence of God? And the next question is, have you seen the New Testament in Acts as something's past, or have you seen it as prescriptive, as in something that we should be able to partake in? And regardless of your answer, if it's descriptive and you haven't seen God being at work in that way, what would change that? Do you want to have a different view of the scriptures? Another question is, have you ever desired more power in prayer? And not just a foxhole kind of prayer when things are going bad, but have you desired to pray for other people more effectively? Is the word identity still an odd word to you? If I say, you have a new identity, strange and odd. That answer is yes. We'd love to talk with you. Are you experiencing true peace and joy? We all wrestle with an emptiness to some extent, if we're going to be honest. But what are you pursuing to fill that emptiness? Like I said, the world chases after 1,000 different causes. Are you experiencing peace and joy? A lot of questions this morning. Sorry if there's too many. How do you intentionally pursue the kingdom of God? How do you intentionally pursue growing the kingdom of God? When Jean made coffee this morning, she could have easily just said, I'm here to make coffee. Or she could have said, you know what? I am working to grow the kingdom of God by making coffee for Deep Rivers Church. Going back to the Ephesians format, do you truly recognize God's grace in your life? Or are you still trying to strive to please Him with your behavior? And the last question is, do you understand God's grace to the point of asking Him to forgive you of your sins? Again, it's real easy to assume anybody who's carved out a Sunday morning to be with us has already come to that place. But if there's anybody here who says, yeah, I don't know if I've ever done that. If you never ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, raise your hand. Let me know. Nobody else will see. And if you've made that decision, then you are righteous. And because you are righteous, you have a claim on joy. Regardless of your circumstances. We believe prayer changes circumstances, but even if it doesn't, prayer changes our perspective on our circumstances. That's why peace and joy can be found no matter what. Father, as we close this morning, I ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to all of us, to show us those times when we pursue anything else for that sense of fulfillment. It might be something big, a behavior that we need to repent of, or it might be something small and seemingly insignificant, but it's still something we go to. Give us a sense of fulfillment when you are the only thing that will give us a sense of peace and joy and rest and fulfillment. And finally, Father, we ask that we would be a church that is prayer dependent, a church that you show your presence and your power through. I pray that it starts now. We pray for one another as people might be prayed for in a few moments. We would be honored to be a people used by you in great and significant ways. All these things we ask you in your Son's holy name. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us this morning, and I plead with you, if there's something going on that you'd like us to pray about, please find your way over to the prayer banner. We have a couple people, and we'll have some more there in a moment. Please let us pray for you this morning. Thanks.